This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Well, the Bills get smoked by the Bears.
Yeah, they had 120-something yards of total offense. What did they have? Frank Gore had like half their offense. Last night.
Yeah.
I know that. The final numbers came to 180, and he had 81 of the 180. 528 to 180. If that were a regular season game, it'd be one of the biggest disparities in NFL history in terms of total yardage. 528 to 180. Caleb Williams played, so that helps, right? I mean,
he was great.
I had one group chat. The guys actually went away for a fantasy football weekend this week, and they're all like, Look at this disaster in the first quarter. I'm like, guys, settle down. Look who's covering DJ Moore.
Right.
Codrington. Codrington is covering DJ Moore. He's a punt returner. Like, they don't care enough to put a real corner on him. They've got the punt returner covering the number one receiver. You don't have to care about it, especially the Bears starters, just torching the Bills. Andreessen's covering Colston Loveland.
Right, Andreessen in coverage, which is something the Bills would try to avoid an awful lot. You do not want him in coverage, and he's covering Colston Loveland.
Right, in space, did he go ninth overall? Like, he was a top 10 pick, wasn't
he? Yep.
So, like, they had backups in against starters. I don't know if that's the excuse for the second half, you know, them still getting 0 points, but that at least was the start of the game for me. Like, this should look like this. The Bears are playing their guys, and the Bills are not. How many starters were even in for the Bills? One? Cole Bishop?
It's Cole Bishop.
And not that he looked great either, but.
And there was one other. Josh Palmer played briefly.
He caught, snaps. I got him here. One catch for 2 yards.
Okay.
For Josh Palmer. Yep.
Cole Bishop. I guess we'll have to decide how worried we should be about Cole Bishop and how worried the Bills will be about Cole Bishop. I mean, he's a young player who's not been on the field, and McDermott in postgame said he needs the reps. He was on a rep count. He might have played more, so he's still kind of coming back from whatever the injury is, right? Like, he's still working on that because he's on a rep count. And he got torched, I guess, some of that's probably not his fault on every one of those plays. Maybe he misdiagnoses something. Maybe he's a little slow to get someplace. Or maybe the rest of the defense is also backups. I mean, I saw a lot of reaction to Damar Hamlin out there again. Like, right, backup safeties. Like, these are your backups against the Bears starters. And the Bears, I thought this was a good point made by Jerry Ostrowski last night as I was listening to what he had to say. And he said the Bears, they want to prove a point. They want to tell everybody, we're here, take us seriously. It's Ben Johnson. He's got stuff to gain. It doesn't count in the standings, but it's a home game. It's the debut of, you know, his new look offense in Chicago. And what are the Bills? The Bills are not quite Tiger Woods in a practice round where you want to try some funky stuff, but they don't really care.
The Bills are the what would be the right sport here? This is gym class.
Yes.
And the Bills are the starting quarterback on the varsity football team. And guess what we're doing in gym class today, guys? We're playing flag football.
Right.
And here come the Bears, like, trying to go 100 miles an hour. And what's the varsity quarterback doing?
Sitting on the side.
Like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
throwing
paper airplanes. Who cares? I don't need to do this.
That's kind of a little bit of how I felt about last night's games. Like, the Bills just – I mean, McDermott will talk like he cares, and he has to, I think, but and maybe you would believe that he really does to some degree, but their lineup would tell you that they don't really care if they lose this football game.
Right.
No one's going to remember it. Right?
Nope.
What do you remember about preseasons? I guess they remember they got shellacked by the Bears last year, but vaguely. And the Steelers once had the greatest preseason of all time and then won like 8 games. So
yeah, last 2 years ago, right? The Kenny Pickett preseason.
Yeah, they were like perfect in 4 preseason games.
The 0-16 Lions famously went 4-0.
Yep. Yeah, there's a million examples.
A million. And, you know, what do you remember about the preseason? If they get hammered by the Bears next year, we'll say, oh, you know what? They got hammered by the Bears last year, too.
Yeah. I did remember, I tweeted out the screenshot, maybe I jinxed them, that they did once upon a time come back from 27 down against the Bears in a preseason game.
Yeah.
But they did not do that last night.
The Chiefs
score a single point.
The Chiefs last year went 0-3 in the preseason, also lost to the Bears.
Okay.
Lost to the Bears, Lions, and the Jaguars.
Maybe the Bears are just trying too hard in the preseason.
Well, it used to be the Ravens. The Ravens were the team that always tried and won in the preseason.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I do think McDermott saying not up to their standards, like, that's – if you want to dig deep on what a coach is supposed to do – right, he's the guy that sets the tone for every practice. So when they get back to practice, what's he going to do? Walk in, ha-ha, slap backs, and say, eh, fellas, no big deal. Like, no, you can't.
He won't do that.
He can't do that. He's got to talk about the reps that mistakes were made. And for the players that are depth players that are trying to make this roster, whether that's Tyrell Shavers, who had a nice performance from him, if it's Landon Jackson, you're wanting to see him win his reps. If it's Cole Bishop, whatever. Like, you've got young players out there. They want to get them up to speed in the program and get their results from it. So, you know, he's going to treat this as not the end of the world, but he's mad about it. And I think he has every right to be, because they're pretty brutal. They're pretty brutal. But from a game plan perspective, right, like, what are you going to do? And if it's Josh Palmer, or if it's Elijah Moore missing a couple of catches, he had a couple of drops.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about other concerning things in the preseason, Curtis Samuel didn't play, of course, because he's not playing because he's hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your stuff.
The backup quarterbacks.
Sure. I don't know. The backup quarterbacks, they played. Trubisky played with an offensive line that looked like the Bills decided to roll the dice like they're playing Yahtzee. Every player, shake it up, boom. All right, let's go with Chase Lunt at right guard and shake it up again. All right, Vandermark's at left tackle. Like, they were moving everybody around. So if you missed the game, you missed very little. You saw the Bills' uniforms and Brandon Bean in an interview with Greg Olson and who was the play-by-play guy last night? I forgot.
Joel Micheletti?
No, that's not right. Whoever it was.
I don't know.
His name was Josh.
Okay.
Josh Allen on the sidelines doing an interview about getting married. We get those a lot this year. You know, it is what it is. So happy preseason. One more, and that'll be against the Bucs. And I wonder how much Cole Bishop will play in that game. I really think if there's one thing to come out of this game, I think it should be, well, whatever. Like, again, Bishop's out there trying to cover up for everybody else who's making mistakes too. But Bishop's been a story all year.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaning into him, they're trusting him. And he needs the reps. He needs the work. And McDermott's saying he needs the reps. is whatever. It's a statement to they got to try and get things on the same page by the time they play Baltimore. And I'm not sure if Bishop and Rapp will be, but it'll be a story all season long how long it takes those two to kind of spin up to speed and get what they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything last night that would have made me any more hopeful about what he'll look like at the start of the year, if he's even out there. I'm also wondering about who makes the team at receiver again. Shavers looked okay yesterday. He didn't get the ball a lot. There's two Elijah Moore drops in there yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got everyone in the Bills media tweeting out like, oh, not a lock for the roster. Like, that was just like, it felt like that one was like in the drafts from everybody, just waiting for a moment. And then there it was. And then like, it might not be a lock. And I thought that more about Samuel, but you know, there's a couple drops by Moore, only caught one pass on four targets. And he's playing out there, so
yep.
In a game where most of your important guys aren't playing a lot.
Well, they've got a thing here, and this is less about preseason and more about roster construction. Did you see Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic suggest that Ogunjobi could be a cut candidate?
I did not see that, no.
Okay. Which, if he were to be
suspended.
Right. If he were to be cut, the Bills would eat so much dead cap for a guy that like you just sign and cut. And here's Samuel and Moore. I mean, Samuel probably makes the team because of contract. And Moore, if he were not to make the team, I mean...
Moore's cap hit is exactly the same whether he's on the team or not.
Okay.
It's $2.5 million.
Yeah, that's,
so it's $2.5 million if he makes the team, and it's the dead cap figure is $2.5
right.
million.
That's because they gave him $2.5 guaranteed on a
right.
one-year deal to round out the receiving core after they went to the draft and you know didn't take anybody of significance.
Right.
They go with Elijah Moore, which... All right, that could be a good idea. And here we are. It is, you know, August 18th, and he might not make the team.
So really, like, I don't know what the better way to do that would be. Who's saving you more money? You release Elijah Moore today, savings $0. You release Curtis Samuel today, and it's $400,000. Like, really, it's the same thing,
right?
Right. Like, so you kind of have the money tied up in both of them. And I don't know. Do they feel like they'd rather have neither of them right now?
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like you'd rather have...
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if that should be true of Moore. Samuel's not on the field.
That.
Like, camp, maybe it's been quiet for him, but has anyone said he's had a bad camp? Maybe that's part of the message last night, is that, hey, his camp hasn't gone that well, and now here's a couple drops in a preseason game, but we haven't been coming in every day saying, like, oh, man, Elijah Moore looked rough today.
No, that's right. And I shouldn't say you'd rather have neither of them on the team, because you don't want to elevate, like, a KJ Hamler and Christian Wilkerson, but...
Well, KJ Hamler.
It is a position.
He looks good when the ball's in his hands.
He does. He looks fast.
He's fast.
It is a position that occasionally we do talk about, and you know, sometimes it tends to get memorable. But anyway, the Bills lose to the Bears 38-0. Final tail of the tape in yardage was 523-180,
mm-hmm.
And Frank Gore Jr. looked pretty good. Other than that, you know, you had Frank Gore Jr. and Shavers, and Jordan Hancock looked good before he left with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, yeah.
He said in the locker room he's fine. So, for what it's worth, we'll see if he is fine.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's fine. We'll get some calls in. You want to react on the Bills' second preseason game? Have at it. We're here to tell you what happened, bring you the sounds from it, and you know, don't accuse us of freaking out. We all stayed up to watch a game on a Sunday night that ended up 38-0 and was a flag-ridden slog. So cut everybody some slack. Mike in Connecticut leads us off. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Just a couple things. I usually come a little bit more organized, but I haven't called the show in a while. But I would say I'm probably in one of the top percentile of optimistic Bills fans, but it was so bad. I went to bed last night at like the third quarter. But just a few things I want to point out. I don't know how, there's a few. The first one is, I don't know how Dane Jackson can make this roster. You know, I thought, you know, he was in that bucket of like Levi Wallace and, you know, Kevin Johnson when we got him from the Texans. Like, you know, just that like complimentary cornerback to that, you know, is solid, but I understand he was not out there with starters, but one, I don't know how he is rosterable. Two, you know, I don't like to overreact because I like to give guys times, but I've just been super unimpressed with Landon Jackson. And it just looks like he's so slow. Like he doesn't move that great laterally. And I don't know. I'm very interested to see what the Bills do with the defensive line, because I feel like regardless with Ogunjobi and Hoyt having suspensions, I just don't know who the Bills are, you know, going to have to make a tough decision on. It's like you draft Dwayne Carter in the third round, and, you know, some people thought he played well last night. You know, I didn't specifically, wasn't just watching Dwayne Carter, but it's going to be very interesting to see what the Bills do. And in terms of the last two things I'll say is the wide receiver room, you know, obviously I don't know everything or watch every single thing about special teams, but, you know, I really like Shavers. I think he's been really consistent, and I like the steady growth. And for the most part, he seems sure-handed last night. You know, Elijah Moore, higher pick. He just looks so underwhelming. And lastly, I'll say, I know the Bills were shuffling around people last night, but I don't know, Ryan Vandermark, especially being a guy who's been around, I just unimpressed, and just kind of want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. And obviously, it's preseason. I don't like to overreact, but I don't know. Just there's certain things that I feel like you expect from guys who have been in the locker room a little bit longer, and that's it.
A couple things, Mike. I got two. Quick on Landon Jackson. He definitely does not look fast or agile or bendy, and that's some of the stuff you heard about him. He's supposed to be like a power guy, power defensive end. He might be really good at setting the edge for them. He's a young player, but if you're looking for bendy, twitchy pass rusher Landon Jackson, I just don't think that's who he is.
No.
And then on the receiver room, and this is something I thought on the way in today. Consider that for a moment, how much I think about wide receivers, and I had this thought today in the 5 o'clock hour. I thought, you know, when it's all said and done, all of our how are they going to get by at receiver, it's not going to come down to who we thought it comes down to. It really is going to come down to whether or not Palmer and Coleman are good. Those are the two guys that are going to matter on whether or not the receiver room is good. Because Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel or Shavers or toss in the next guy up when somebody gets hurt, these are the third, fourth, fifth receivers on the board, fourth, fifth, sixth. And it's Shakir, who we know is good. And who else is going to be good? Is it going to be Palmer or Coleman? They're going to need one of those two to be good. And if one of those two is good, then they're probably fine because they got pass-catching backs that they'd like to use. Kincaid. That's another thing about this game yesterday. There's no presence from tight ends without Kincaid or Knox out there. So
no, Latu, you know, with a bad drop yesterday.
Right, Davidson,
that he was going to make the team anyway.
No,
probably,
Davidson's had a terrible preseason with lots of mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would almost want to say, like, take it for what it's worth. When this offense is operating the way it wants to, you know, they're utilizing tight ends and backs, and that's an offense last night that didn't really do that.
I will say, though, I am disappointed that we are sitting here on August 18th, and it feels like the Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel combo right now is just at a zero for them, because sure, they are not high on the depth chart when you come into to training camp and into the preseason, but both of them have had a profile that made me think they could help a lot and make an impact on offense this year. Moore's profile as a player, Samuel, some things he's done in the past, not with the Bills last year, and maybe this is not giving Shavers enough credit, or maybe I'm doing too much with the draft status of these players, but I considered Moore and Samuel players that could help them a lot on offense this year. And as good as Shavers has looked in camp and preseason, I just never really give any real possibility to the fact of him making an impact on the offense. Like, he can make the team, and he can come in and block and maybe catch a pass every other game, but I've never considered the possibility that Tyrell Shavers is actually making a week-to-week impact on the offense the way that I considered that for Moore and Samuel.
Yeah.
So for them to be having bad summers here, or if you want a bad August, if that's even fair to say about them, I think that should be a disappointment.
And that's even if you want to consider Samuel as having a summer, because he's been out the entire time. He missed all of camp.
Right.
And he's getting close to a return. And that's one thing about the Bills numbers game that'll get interesting. I almost wonder if they wish Samuel was not close, because he's getting close.
Because then you could put him on IR or something. Yeah,
it's going to force a decision on what to do and who's got to go. And, I mean, Shavers has done enough to make the team. And whether that's cutting or saying goodbye to Elijah Moore, I don't think you're going to do that with Curtis Samuel. We did get a couple of trades in the NFL yesterday, so maybe
John Mechie was one of them,
right? John Mechie, who has played sparingly.
Yeah, he was a second-round pick. He missed a year with leukemia, and then he's been like a backup for Houston.
Yeah, nice player. Alabama, right?
Yes,
John Metchie?
Alabama slot receiver.
Yeah. 803-0550. It's a football Monday to a degree. The Bills get hammered in the preseason in Chicago. They kind of no-show. We'll get you some of Sean McDermott's comments. Pam Oliver on the sideline talking with Josh Allen. We'll get to, if you missed that, maybe we can have a conversation about their conversation. She asked him about help in the draft on the offensive side of the ball. So plenty to get to, plenty to get to. Hope you enjoyed it last night. Whatever, it's football. Even when the Bills are getting hammered in a preseason game, we still get to watch the Bills. So it was an adventure.
0 points, though.
So. 0 points. Caden Davis missed a 57-yard field goal that they got as a gift because it was such a preseason game that the Bears just went for a fourth down at the end of the half.
Yep.
Like, sure, let's do something here. And the Bills went out and tried to kick a field goal, did not get it. We opened up asking how you're feeling about the new look defense. Expectations. Maybe that's a good way to put this. I like when we put the number on Bosa, when I said 8 sacks for Bosa. Take it. Is that a good season? Actually, the way I asked it was is that a home run?
Mm-hmm.
Bosa gets 8 and is healthy for the playoffs. Is that a home run? Net poll a couple weeks ago went up. I was a yes on that. I'd take 8 sacks and healthy for the postseason. How about for the defense? Like, what is the number? Because you kind of can't put it into wins and losses because they win a lot of games anyway.
Right.
Last year, their defense was not really as good as it normally is, and they won a lot of games. This year, you could have the same defense and, looking at the schedule, be the one seed, right? So.
Yes.
That'll be one of the things about this year, Joe, when we're watching games. If they win the opener 27-24, that's good. They win.
Yep.
Are people okay with 24? Are people okay with giving up points and still winning? Because going back to the AFC Championship game, there's a lot in there about just flat out points given up. You gave up 32 points to a team that didn't score a lot this year in Kansas City. Your offense scored 29. 29 should be enough. That's something you hear a lot. 29 should be enough. So if the defense gives up less than 29, is that mission accomplished? Like, I wonder what we will think about the standard for them. What is better than last year? Oh, they're not turning it over as much, but their third down percentage is better. Is that it? They're off the field. They're forcing more punts. I'm always wanting to talk about punts forced more than turnovers forced because punts are turnovers, and while they aren't as sexy, like, they do matter. So trying to establish a standard for the defense.
I want to see them be able to not get picked apart in the pass game, which was new for them, right? They have for many, many years been awesome at just defending the pass, and we'll give you the run. Go ahead. Run for 80. Run for 4.2 yards per carry and have your day. You're not going over the top of us. You're not getting big passing plays. And last year, the first time, that was kind of different. And maybe that's the safety point. Maybe that's the safety point, how they were playing and the talent level of the two that were back there. But that would be my standard is to not feel like, oh, they got a great quarterback coming into town. Well, that guy's going to rip it up. Because that's how I felt about a lot of what was happening at the end of last regular season. Stafford picking them apart. And even, like, the Bills win the Lions game in part because the offense was just unstoppable. But Goff was doing that to an extent as well.
They got
a couple big plays,
the
right?
The defense did the job in Detroit. That game got...
And they give an 80-yard touchdown to keep the game alive.
Yeah, but the Bills were up, 31-14 late. I mean, the score in that game after three quarters is 35-21.
Okay.
The Lions scored 21 fourth-quarter points to make it appear closer than it really was throughout the game.
Right, in part because they give an 80-yard touchdown.
Sure.
Like, yeah, that's when you're supposed to be playing prevent defense and not allowing big plays, and you gave up a big play.
They had a 98.7 win probability before the fourth quarter began.
Okay.
They gave up 21 points after their win probability was 95%.
Like, but that to me would make it, that's even harder because you are playing prevent. It should be harder to give up more points like that at the end.
No,
on big plays?
I don't agree. They did not give up an 80-yard touchdown.
What was the St. Brown one?
Amon-Ra St. Brown is 66 yards.
Okay.
That's at the end of the third quarter. The Bills are up 35-14 at the time.
Okay, 66. All I remember is thinking that's the hardest thing to do is being up like that, playing prevent defense and giving up a play that long. But maybe that was only the one play in that game. But either way, like my expectation for their defense last year was they play a great team, and passing wise, they're probably going to get picked apart.
I don't know when I haven't ever. When have I never felt that way? What have I really never felt like that? Because I always feel like that. In fact,
well, not in the regular season.
Yes. I always feel like when you play a great quarterback and a great offense, you are hold on to your hats. And that's not just the Bills. Like I like to make this point a lot. If you think you have a great defense and then you roll into Buffalo, what's going to happen? Josh Allen's going to do stuff because that's how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, have I ever been confident they're going to stop the Chiefs in the regular season? Yes, but that usually comes down to the fact that the Chiefs, I don't view the last 2 years as a great offense.
Mm-hmm.
But who are they playing this year? They're playing Cincinnati. What do I think is going to happen? I think they're going to give up 30 points. And
then what's the point of all the defensive acquisitions?
Because that doesn't have to be right. That is where I live, though.
Yeah.
That is when they were an amazing defense, how they do against Cincinnati. Not well.
Mm.
When they're a bad defense, how they going to do against Cincinnati, against Burrow. If they're going to play Lamar. Lamar's a great example because they've had successful games against Lamar.
They have.
Some. But even in games where they've lost. Again, the Ravens lost that AFC divisional round game here. Lamar carved the Bills apart. 10 yards a pass?
Yeah.
Without Zay Flowers.
Right.
So.
But if we are doing it by points, like they've scored, I don't think Lamar's ever scored more than 24 points against the Bills.
Well, 35 in week four.
Oh, that's right.
They ripped them up in that game, too.
24-3, 20. There was that. There's the 35, yeah. So, okay, there's the one big game. Yeah, like I guess, like what are their signature performances against top quarterbacks, even if it's in the regular season? Like, where they shut a dude down. They've done it to Lamar a couple times,
yep.
Including the COVID playoff game, the Taron Johnson game.
Taron Johnson game.
That's probably number one. I imagine that's going to be tough to beat. Okay. There's a couple Kansas City regular season games.
It's worth mentioning, that COVID playoff game is a little bit just before, maybe not Lamar, maybe Lamar's reached the peak of his powers and the Bills did a great job that day because Lamar had won the MVP. But that COVID playoff game, Josh is not great in that game. And mm-hmm. The Bills go then to Kansas City, right? Or do the order here.
Yes.
And then
AFC Championship game.
And that's the year, like, they're a little out ahead in front of their skis. Like, they're not as good. They're not quite ready.
Yeah.
Had Allen ascended to best in the league yet? Not yet.
That was the year where he first started putting up, like, those types of numbers.
Yeah, video game numbers.
Yeah.
803-0550. This kind of illustrates the point about what the defense, what the conversation's about. Like,
What is measured as a success?
What is the success?
Like last year,
just be better is a good goal.
Like, do you know what I was going to say? Like when you first said it was be a top 10 defense in like DVOA. Like that's you've succeeded in making your defense better.
Okay.
And then I looked and like, do you know how small an improvement that would be? Do you know where they were in DVOA last year?
12th,
11th.
Okay.
So like if they're 9th, like that's not really that much better.
But last year, that's probably driven very much by turnovers. They were a bad defense that took the ball away, and that'll just make you a good defense, which is probably why over the years, you know, turnovers get talked about quite a bit. Turn the ball over, you'll be okay, and the Bills did that. This year, they might not turn the ball over but make more stops.
Right.
Which doesn't always look better, but often is. 803-0550. It is kind of this nebulous idea. Like, all right, you want the defense to be better? What's it look like? And if it's hold Joe Burrow to 10, I think I don't have that expectation for anybody.
I don't need to hold him to 10. Can I hold him to 20? Can I hold him to 25?
But 20,
26?
We've seen that with the Bills and the Chiefs. 20 ends up sometimes being game script. Since 13 seconds, the scores of Bills-Chiefs games are more often in the 20s than the 30s.
True.
It's 24-20. It's, right? What's the game? 27-24.
Yep. That's right.
Matt in Angola. Hey, Matt. Good morning.
Hey, a couple of comments. I'm watching Burrow's play last night, Daniels, Mahomes played last week. I get frustrated when, you know, Allen's 6'5", healthy, seeing absolutely no action. I think that you can't dictate real life play. So 7-on-7 is great practice. We have some receivers that really haven't seen Allen throw during a game. I'm watching Chicago. It just looked like we're a little bit too conservative. I know Burrow threw more touchdowns last year than any other quarterback. Was coming off an injury. Daniels weighs 150 pounds. And here we are with our man on the sideline like he's 42 and doesn't need to see any action till day one. And I think because we have new wide receivers, I think it's going to catch up. I'm wondering, A, is he going to play more than one snap next week? And B, what's the over and under for the Bills win and loss with Vegas? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Josh Allen last year attempted two passes. Mm-hmm. He went 1 for 2 for 3 yards in the preseason. And then in the month of September, he had a quarterback rating of 116.57 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He had his highest rating of any month.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually better in December from like a yards per attempt.
Okay.
I can't imagine making the case that Allen should play in the preseason. Last year he played through three passes. He had a season where there was no preseason, and they were fine. You want chemistry with receivers, they can practice their routes, they can do lots of stuff. Maybe they need time to get on the same page. That's fine. But, man, imagine watching that game last night, seeing Burrow get thrown to the ground with three players fall on top of him and saying, where's my quarterback to do that? Like, I'm sorry, not interested. No way. And the Bills over-under on wins, I think it's 11.5.
I think it's 11.5.
Highest in the league.
Yeah.
Tied with Baltimore, a couple other teams that are 11.5.
Yep.
But no thanks. I have absolutely no interest. Watching last night, every team that has a good quarterback probably thought that. I bet there it was the last game of week two. If that had been the first game of week two of the preseason, you might have seen some coaches that had their starters scheduled to play. Say, you know what?
Nah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe not. You see Burrow get thrown to the ground, horse collared to the ground in the pocket.
How many are even playing? Like, Daniels plays last night, but he didn't attempt to pass.
No, he ran, though.
He ran one for a touchdown, right? Like, Tua's not going to play, right? That would be nuts if Miami put him in.
Rodgers is not playing.
Like, is you know who does play is Mahomes.
He does.
And I don't know if he's playing this year. Like, the Rams never play their guys. They certainly won't this year with the back injury Stafford's got. Like, I don't think there's many guys left that even do it. Dak won't play. I don't think Jalen Hurts is supposed to. Like the list of guys that don't play, I think, is a lot longer now than the list of guys that do. I'm pretty sure about that.
So far, I'll double check on Mahomes' preseason stats this year. They played 2 preseason games, and I have him at 1 for 1 for 1 yard.
Okay.
So he did not.
That was a big pass attempt.
He did not play against the Seahawks.
Right.
There was also a game they played against Arizona. Mahomes went 1 for 1 for 1 yard.
Interesting.
So
he has, I will tell you this, he has thrown at least
18 passes in the preseason every year.
Yeah.
This will be his lightest load unless he plays in the third game. Yeah. He's gone a couple drives, 18 passing attempts by Mahomes in the preseason, totals preseason, going back, right now 1. Last year 18, the year before 17, 26, 29, 19, 43.
Mm-hmm.
1 this year.
And with 1 game to go, doesn't seem likely that, unless they're planning to play him in the third game, which is usually when the guys don't play. I don't know.
Yeah. No thanks. But thank you for the phone call. 803-0550. Chemistry with receivers. At some point, if you want, Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com. Maybe we'll do this next segment. He finally charted Josh Palmer.
Ooh.
Yes. He charted Josh Palmer, and he hadn't done that since 2021. It's a player that he liked. It's the Bills, of course, man beater, 3-year deal for Josh Palmer. We'll get you what Matt Harmon had to say coming up next segment, but finish up some calls here. Glenn in North Carolina. Hey, Glenn, good morning.
Hey, guys. Just boiling down this defensive question, I think the number one issue that I have is third down defense. I was looking at a site that said that their opponents were converted 44% of the time, which puts them third worst in the NFL, and that's a total team defense statistic, right? You've got to have get pressure with four up front, and you've got to have the safeties working. And I think that's my biggest concern, especially what you're talking about with the safeties. I think that's probably the best measure for me as to how they're doing, because especially in that last game against the Chiefs, I mean, they were just third down and 12, third down and 9, third down and 10. It seemed like they were just they couldn't do anything against it. I feel like that's the area where they need the most improvement to really make a difference in the big games.
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn. I did this a couple of weeks ago where the Bills ranked in third down defense by year.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of amazing how bad last year was. In third down defense, just conversion percentage, the Bills defense ranked 30th in third down defense.
Brutal.
Yeah. The year before, they are 18th. You might take 18th this year. But then if you go back before that, you'll see them consistently like pretty good. So last year was really bad. 2022, they are 6th in third down defense conversion rate. In 2021, they are 1st. In 2020, they are, I'll find it.
Well, what this
19th.
What this coincides with, though, is it's if you're thinking about one team specifically, it is important for them to be good on third down defense, because if every single year the Chiefs are like the best team on third down offense.
That's right.
Even last year when their offense is not good, they're the one thing that maintained for them and has maintained is they are always like the top offense on third downs.
Yeah. They've been in the top 11 on third down percentage basically like almost every year.
Yeah.
McDermott's first year, they're 11th. McDermott's second year, 2018, third down defense is 9th. So routinely near the top 10, definitely top half. Last year, 30. And that's, you know, when we sat with McDermott, one of the things we asked him about was third down defense. Like I kind of asked, you know, Glenn, as you call in with that idea, like what is better? And third down defense is something I think almost anybody could point to because it was the thing that was most obviously you could pick it out and say, well, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
30th in anything on defense, you know? 30th in third down defense. It's going to be tough. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call.
That's where your punts come from, so.
Right.
Why are you not forcing punts? Because you're getting them to third down, then you're not getting them off the field.
Ask the question, how are you feeling about the Bills' defensive overhaul? A couple of answers here. Andrew writes in, two players suspended for 6 games, a defensive end that can't stay healthy, a bunch of rookies. I don't feel great about any of that in a Super Bowl or bust year. At least we got Trey back, though. Maddie writes in, my feeling the same as every year. We draft and sign defense year after year. It's what's let us down each year. Until that's changed by the staff and players, it will continue to be their Achilles heel. Yes, key injuries have played a role in games, I know. Yeah. I don't want to call it a conundrum. McDermott speaks at 12 today. We're not exactly getting like a depth chart shakeup based on Cole Bishop's 12 plays.
No, I don't think so.
It really is kind of wild. There's 12 plays. There's 12 plays is on a defense of all twos, including, you know, Joe Andreessen in coverage. Like, your safety was asked to do some things there in slight defense of Cole Bishop here, who, whatever, needs the reps.
Right.
Kind of put in a tough spot.
Is that the position right now that feels most likely for, like, deadline acquisition in October?
Sure. Because it's cheap.
It's cheap.
It can be a really cheap position.
It's cheap, yep.
Like, Taylor Rapp is a less than $4 million player. 3.6, right? Like, it's cheap. So you could make a deal. You want to try and get a defensive end? Like, good luck. That's expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You want to get a corner? That can be expensive. Get a safety? Like, oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Those are cheap. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. All right, on Josh Palmer when we get back. Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com, the godfather of, online wide receiver analysis. He did a breakdown on Palmer and some interesting stuff in there. Some good, maybe some comparisons in a way to Keon Coleman. Not the same player, but just what he says about Palmer and how the Bills might specifically try to use him. We'll explain that, run through that a little bit for you. 803-0550. What is your standard for the defense being adequate, better, great, whatever it might be? Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
We've been talking about the Bills' defense and basically what's the standard for it being good? You know, you want it to be good. What is good look like and how do you feel about this defensive overhaul? I want to clarify, I am not asking this in the wake of 38-0 against the Bears. The defense looked bad against the Bears. I don't really think about that game anymore. Like, it happened, it was bad, sure, but
whatever.
The Bishop conversation is happening. I had somebody write in about the Cole Bishop conversation, and this is something that tends to come with August. Mm-hmm. It's from Bartman. Who said, you know, you feel the football team to win games. You don't feel that, say, look at our sick defense. I hope they're better. But an entire region clenching about a second-year safety is nauseating. And I would just say about, like, the Cole Bishop conversation, I don't think that everybody here is clenching, to use his term. I think there's honest concern, questions about... What's happening at safety? It was a problem last year. You brought everybody back with the idea that this one guy was going to be ready. And the biggest conversation about that position is whether or not this guy is going to be ready. It's still a conversation. He's not been on the field. The head coach says he needs the reps. And yesterday with us, Sal said that maybe Jordan Hancock could start to see some looks there. So I don't think anybody is panicking. You get fans that do that a lot. Oh, everybody's freaking out. I don't think there's a lot of freak out. I think we're just talking about a team that's going to try and win the Super Bowl and need to make stops against Lamar and Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're still going to win 13 games. Yeah, we all kind of know that. But that's not really the game anymore. The game is, what are they going to do about this thing that might be a weakness? You don't think they're talking about Bishop inside the building? They're certainly talking about it. They're talking about how he needs reps. Maybe they're talking about how they have faith in it, but they're talking about it.
And he is, to me, the key to getting rid of a limitation that you had last year. What when they lined up to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, they wanted to throw a wrinkle in of playing more man coverage. And their safety, at least Hamlin, if not Rapp too, got exposed. At multiple times, Kansas City getting him on a receiver, and it's just good night. It's not even close. Bishop is not, I don't think, supposed to be like a guy that could cover those receivers man on man and do well every time. But he's a player that I would think with his athleticism, can you hold your own? Because I know Hamlin or even Rapp in coverage in that situation is going to get exposed. Is going to get, like, that's where the ball is going 100% of the time. This guy, like, all right, can you cover him every third time, every other time, and do well at that so that I can play man and not be terrified of it? Because that's kind of how last year went. And just, is there any sign that you should feel confident about that? That he's going to be an upgrade over what you had? He's different. He's more athletic. He's younger. I might get more mental mistakes and more splash plays. Maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't know if it's a great thing.
You're painting Kyer Elam?
A little bit.
A little bit, right? Like splash plays and mistakes?
I think that might be what we're headed for if he's on the field.
Well, the thing about the safety position also that separates it from the rest of the defensive conversation is it's the piece of the defense that really didn't get any attention this offseason. You got Derek Forrest.
That's
really it, right? What happened at defensive end?
And Hancock.
Jordan Hancock.
But we didn't even know he was a safety. Right.
He's nickel, maybe right. Safety, whatever. But what did the defensive line get? Let's just go ends. Bosa, Landon Jackson.
Yeah.
Michael Hoyt, kind of.
Michael Hoyt.
Defensive tackle, what did they get? Ogunjobi, Sanders, Deion Walker. Like three premium assets. Linebacker, the Bills don't play a lot of linebackers, and they didn't add any because it's...
Because they have two.
They have two, right. And they don't really need anything there. Secondary, what'd they get? First-round pick, Trey White, mm-hmm. Dane Jackson. These guys are returning, but they're guys that were not on the team that they brought back.
They tried to get Jair Alexander at one point.
So
they were going after it.
They upgraded. They paid attention to a lot of spots, and the one spot that they kept the same, and this might actually give you confidence if you want to go there. That's fine. The one spot they kept the same was safety. Like, he didn't make any change there. It's Rapp and Bishop. And we've talked a few times going back to the draft that 24, 48 hours before the draft, where the conversation was a lot about Malachi Starks, Sal came on and said, guys, they like their room. They like their room. They're not going to do that. They like who they've got. Starks didn't ultimately make it to them where they picked. So, you know, we don't have to necessarily know what they would have done, but I trust Sal and Sal in the know. They mm-hmm. like their guys. So the idea was, we're going to run it back at safety, and we're just going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're waiting to see, if they're going to be better there. But in the preseason so far, here's the one way to say it. It started the same way last year did, which is Bishop not on the field.
Right.
And Hamlin showing, you know, what he is, a reasonable backup.
And by default being the guy, because wasn't it Mike Edwards that we thought they wanted to start anyway?
Yes.
And he got injured too. So Hamlin has to play by default. Again, it's kind of crazy though that like all these, they like Rapp more. Okay, they clearly do. They paid him a contract and he's never questioned. But any grading or any numbers on their safeties from last year show that Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp were like exactly the same. They're exactly the same player. Maybe Rapp is flying around a little bit more, and Hamlin is more the mental stuff. But like their results, exactly the same. But yet, one guy is like entrenched. He's a starting safety, and the other guy is, you know, I mean, is he even on the roster?
Well, I think Rapp would make opposing players think twice. I mean, he's somebody uh-huh. that he hits hard.
Yep.
Hamlin.
He flies around.
Hamlin actually used to be that. I remember the first introduction to Hamlin was him getting a targeting penalty, maybe. He was a guy that did that from time to time.
At least it was that one. I remember that one
play. That one play. Maybe it's just one play that sticks out of my mind, like in his rookie season, maybe.
But really, like, it's what do they want to be also? We all think they want Poyer and Hyde again, right? But how much do they really feel like they need it? Because having two safeties that good, not just for the Bills, in the NFL, is rare. To have two guys that long, especially. But like that position, there's a reason why Taylor Rapp is paid so little. There's a reason why those salaries are so down at that position is And guys don't often go early in the first round. It's kind of a big thing, I think, when Hamilton.
Yep.
Where does Hamilton even go? Kyle Hamilton could go like fifth overall.
No, I went, you know, mid late first
like,
round.
The value of that position is pushed down a little bit. It's almost kind of treated like the running back of the defense. Like, we think we can just get by at this position and be okay. That's how a lot of teams do it. But
it's not how every team does it.
Not every team. And my surprise is that the Bills have kind of done that the last 2 years, because they, I've always felt like, were a team that would never do it that way. That the second Hyde and Poyer left or weren't as good anymore, like, they're going after that position. They're getting a star, or they're doing first round stuff. Like, they're going to go after it. And it's been more for 2 years now, even 3 years. Like, no, we're just good with going with, you know, replacement level guys and being okay. And one second round pick at it.
Yeah, and with, I'm looking up Micah Hyde's like contract history, because when the Bills signed him to a deal,
it was decent, right?
It was,
but it wasn't like top of the position.
No, but it was $6 million per year,
which then
in
for safety.
2017.
Yeah,
and right now RAP is less than four. So evolution of the position, how much you want to pay, I get all that. You know, as you're laying that out, I think about one team that. You're right. What do they want to be? Do they want to be a team that uses their safeties in such a way that it can dictate everything else that they do? They had been that. I don't know if they can be that still. They might want to be, but just kind of waiting to get there. What did Baltimore, you mentioned Kyle Hamilton. They took Starks.
Right. They have, so that's two first-round safeties.
Two first-round safeties.
That's
out there.
Very – it's a lot more.
It's a lot more invested in the position. Again, you can build a football team every way you want. We can't sit here and say we want them to build with wide receivers in the first and safeties in the first and defensive ends in the first. You got to make your choices. This is something Brandon Bean has to do and his staff have to do, is pick how they want to do it.
Well, and also, like, I don't know that the Bills didn't want desperately to get Kyle Hamilton. He went 14th overall. How are the Ravens there? Are they trading up for him? They must have been, right? No, they just, that's the year Lamar is hurt. They missed the playoffs. So they're picking 14th. The Bills haven't had that season. If Josh had injuries 3 years ago and they missed the playoffs in some fluke year and they're picking 14th, they might have Kyle Hamilton on the team right now. So for in that one specific instance, that might be part of the reason why they don't have him. And like you said, we don't know what they would have done at 30 this year.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550.
I will say Dax Hill and Lewis Seen, though, were first-round picks that same season the Bills passed on when they went with Elam.
Dax Hill to Cincinnati?
Yep.
And Seen, of course, who was here for a little while after he left Minnesota.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Phil in Buffalo. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, McDermott's defense over the years, that kind of bend-don't-break kind of approach, these safeties have to take the right angle and make sure they make the tackle when the running back gets into that second tier level, and then don't let the long pass beat you. I mean, that's really what they ask their safeties to do. They don't ask them to do a lot more, and that's really all you need for in that defense. Of course, it'd be great if they got something a little bit more than that, but that's all they've really wanted over the last several years, it seems like to me.
Yeah, that's what they've wanted to be, and I think we still think that's probably what they want to be, right? They don't want big plays over the top. They want to keep everything in front of you, and we're going to run at you with our fist held high like a boxer and try to punch the ball out. Like, I still feel like that at their core is what they want to be. And for that, I think that, though, is part of the equation as to why it's important to them for their safeties to have reps and experience in the system and be locked in with communication between the two, so that you don't have a play like last year in Houston where Nico Collins is a 75-yard touchdown over your heads. They've never allowed plays like that. And I have to think part of how they treat safety with all the experience, playing together, all of that, is so that plays like that never happen. And they've been very good at letting that never, ever happen. So when you've got a guy that, you know, I'll go back and watch, see if there was someone else that was on the hook too. Bishop gets the blame for that Nico Collins play. And that play lives in my head as like, yeah, that's part of the reason why he doesn't play last year. It's because they're afraid of that play with him. And Damar Hamlin might get exposed in man coverage and might not be that athletic to come up and make big plays. But why is he on the field? Because they have more faith that that doesn't happen when he's out there. Do we have to start, though, with... I think Owen is ready to go off on something Nate brought up before we got in here that is a food-related question about ordering the same thing over and over. In, like, days in a row?
Yeah, it's like...
So what is this now? You have ordered the same meal 4 days in a row for lunch at the same the same place?
Yeah, not only the same place, but like the same location. It's a chain.
Same location.
The same location.
And you're just gone every day to get the... And you're and like a minute before we go on there, it's like, I might do it again today.
It's not really at this point a might thing. It's just...
You're going to do it again today.
Yeah.
Owen, have you ever done this? Even 2 days in a row? Like,
definitely had two.
The thing I had yesterday was so good. I'm going to do the exact same thing.
And then you just find yourself in a cycle of...
You're fixated and then it's over. And you can't even... There's nothing you can do about it.
It's
over for you. You said that and you couldn't hear me, but I think I might have shook the walls in here with...
We tested how soundproof that room really was.
Really. I mean, my arms were in the air. I was celebrating like I had just... I don't even know. It was incredible. Those sandwiches rock.
Yeah.
And it's unavoidable. And I fight with people all the time about
steak
it.
Steak sandwiches. This is going to be 4 days in a row or you're already at
today
4 days
Today will be
in
five.
A row. Today will be five.
Yeah.
Just make it a week, Nate.
5 days in a row. That can't possibly be good for you.
It's better than getting a cheeseburger 5 straight days.
This is almost that.
Kinda.
As long as you're not getting fries, maybe it's close.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't gotten the cookies every day.
Okay. Well, not every day. How many of the 4 days then have you gotten? Three?
Half
of them.
Yeah, right down the middle.
See?
That's perfect.
This is becoming almost like a modern version of the Super Size Me challenge where he's just like, I just want to see what happens.
Should we do a calorie
count? Just want to see what happens. If I just eat steak subs every day for a month, what happens?
Should we do a calorie count?
I mean, hey, you said it's better than eating a cheeseburger.
Yeah, but we could. I do get a giant, and I eat the giant every time.
You can't not get the giant.
Owen's like bulldog. I had this conversation. Him splitting up a sub that gets cut into fours for multiple days. You can't do that with a hot steak sub, frankly.
Oh, he will.
Really?
Can I ask how does he do it? Does he eat it cold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
You guys, I know you guys have known my dad a long time.
Yeah.
He's my dad. He is a freak.
That's like, I get it if you have an Italian sub with a bunch of cold Italian meats.
Josh, make sure you clip that.
But like, you can't, like when there's oil on a sub, you can't.
Oh.
Have it for multiple days.
He'll
integrity of this.
This is not just subs. This is anything edible.
I don't even eat leftovers.
All he eats is leftovers.
That's not totally true. Like leftovers that I'm like designed to like feed me for a couple of days, like meal prepping.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily consider that leftovers, but it's kind of leftovers. When I'm out at restaurants and I don't finish my meal, I do ask for a box. Because it feels impolite to leave food.
But then I
don't eat it.
You know what? This is a good point that I actually thought about recently. Is I don't want to take these leftovers home. I'm not going to eat this.
There's an obligation.
But there's enough left on my plate where if I say no to the box, then I feel like I am insulting the restaurant.
The chef's
or the
gonna
chef,
come
like,
out and spit
hey,
on you.
Hey, this was so gross. Not only am I only eating half of it, I don't even want to take it home.
Right. I can't even
That's how bad it was.
Give you the satisfaction of, I'll take this home and throw it out there.
But I'm not even saying it was bad. I just might not want it the next day. Like there are certain things I don't like as leftovers. I don't like anything like pasta. Sauce or penne the next day. Like no, I don't really want
a steak the next day. Unless I've got grand plans, unless there's enough that I could be like, I'm going to make steak and eggs.
Yep.
But then that has to be a Sunday. There has to be, it's a very specific scenario that has to play out for me to use leftover beef.
100%.
It's got to be Saturday night. I got to have no plans the next day. I got to have eggs already. Like right away, that's 2 weekends of the year. that that's happening.
Yeah. I think air fryers have changed the game with this, though.
I was just going to say that.
Like you used to take home chicken wings, and you're like, how am I going to heat these up? Then you throw them in an air fryer, and it's like they're brand new.
Definitely do not bring home
chicken. With your leftover steak sub, I think I would be throwing that in the air fryer.
Can I just, 100%. Let me just say something? There's definitely no leftover of that sub, just so we're clear. The Giant's getting taken down.
And the Giant, it is, in fact, Giant. It's a big sub.
Do you want the calories? I got the calories.
Sure, let's send
it. Gosh.
This says, on average,
oh, this is gonna be
1,189 calories.
Oh, that's not
as bad as I thought it was
going to
be.
Right, because I'm going to eat breakfast this morning,
mm-hmm.
and then I don't really eat for the rest of the day, and then I eat dinner.
Okay. You're still eating three meals a day, though. Are you eating like a true breakfast? You're eating like something little.
Yeah, I mean, today
I don't touch anything usually before like 11 a.m.
I'm kind of eating a true breakfast today because I woke up and I was hangry.
I thought he was about to give us something in the 2000s.
I was ready for a 2500 bomb.
Yeah. I feel
you're going to die tomorrow.
I feel vindicated. I'm probably going to get it for a couple more days.
I might go get it today now.
Like when I discovered how many calories are in a like a Bloomin' Onion for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like 3,000.
What?
It's like the most unhealthy thing you could ever order anywhere. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. So I guess it's not that high. So
I'm feeling good. I've actually never felt better.
Well, Nate's gonna be living off the high of another steak sub on the way later today for the entire
show.
It's
getting
today.
Me through. Yeah,
that, you got no idea the power that wields, guys.
They may never know.
See, it's up to them.
I feel like you got to have the kind of ADHD where like you do things on repeat. Like if I like a new album, I'll just listen to that new album for 4 months.
Okay,
nonstop.
Yep,
4 months. Sure.
Sometimes more.
Okay. This is all crazy.
Like when Bulldog introduced me to the War on Drugs, that was a nine-month.
Yeah.
It's all I listened to.
100%.
So.
Yeah. We got Quad Box for this for this conversation, by the way. So good. Welcome into the morning with the Quad Box and also the bullpen going off about this. Wanting to revoke my Italian card because I don't like leftover pasta. Excuse me, that means I have a high standard for pasta and sauce, which makes me even more Italian.
Yeah, that seems...
Yeah, I don't know a true Italian that would bring home leftovers and then microwave it.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure that is sacrilegious.
Ugh. See, that would be another thing I'd want to try to throw in the air fryer, but how am I going to put pasta in the air fryer?
Pasta in the air fryer.
It would, bake it. It'd almost become like a...
But that could be good. It would be such a mess
you're
after.
Not do that.
Yeah, just that.
They
would
make
be
those. They make those little paper boats that you can put in them.
Yeah,
like, there's air fryer liners.
All you gotta That'd do is that. Though. The bulldog move is zap it in the microwave for 8.5 minutes and just.
On medium. On medium heat.
No, just as hot. He. I should wear a video camera on me one day.
We should document some of this.
Bring you guys around.
This psycho behavior.
I think we need a new recurring segment on the show, which is Owen tells us things about Bulldog we didn't know already.
Yeah.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Chris in South Carolina is first up this hour. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? I say bring Gabe on. The reason I say so, there's a couple different reasons, man. The reason I say so is if we had our chance 2 years ago, to sign Gabe for $8 million, let's just say. I think the majority of us would have taken that. And all of our players from time to time have been schemed out of our offense for a couple games, definitely a couple series. And Gabe, for sure, definitely had his games where, you know, he would just be non-existent, no catches, like we've said. Everybody knows that about him, but the thing about it now is, like you guys said earlier, Jacksonville, they're paying for him. I say we bring Gabe in, give him a chance to collect his bag after this year. And, I mean, just think about everything that he could do exactly like Matt Collins, minus the special teams. And second and two, you could use Gabe in motion as a blocker even. Because we know that he, you know, he's one of our best blockers. And I think one of the telling things real quick is Gabe's rookie year. I can't think of the fellow's name, but it was Gabe's high school coach, used to be a former Bills player. And he said that he told his children that they need to emulate Gabe Davis, and said that Gabe was the hardest worker of any player that he ever played with other than himself. And so we all know that he's a hard worker in the off season. I say bring the cat in, give him $1 million, let him try to get his bag after this year. And I mean, at worst, you were losing Chenault or Elijah Moore, because Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel, because of his contract, and Shavers, because of his opportunity, I think it would be our wideouts. And then the two out, if we kept Gabe, would be Chenault and Moore. So just see what you guys think.
Yeah, I would wait. I would much rather. I would just rather have Moore.
I would rather have Elijah Moore.
I would much rather have Elijah Moore. And like,
if it comes down to those two, like if we sign Gabe, Elijah Moore is getting cut. I would rather see that out in the regular season. Gabe is like, right, like the Iron Bill Award, hardest worker. Fantastic. That's all great. Yep. Like, I don't doubt that he is even a role model the way you described him for kids playing the position. But I'm trying to win the Super Bowl here, and I just got stopped on a 4th and 5 and a 3rd and 10 before that to the Chiefs because I didn't have a receiver that could get open. I had to throw a screen pass to Amari Cooper because I didn't trust anybody to separate. Why did they call on 4th down in orbit motion in the backfield to Khalil Shakir? Because they didn't trust anybody to get open one-on-one.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't help that.
I don't know what the odds are of that being Elijah Moore right now, but Elijah Moore, that's his skill set.
I'm also not going to overreact to one bad preseason game with Mike White.
For Elijah Moore?
Yeah, I'm not overreacting.
It's probably fair. When, by the way, the previous preseason game, if Mitch Trubisky sees him, he's
got
a
walk-in 70-yard touchdown.
70-yard touchdown, and how different does it sound right now about Elijah Moore if that had happened?
Yep.
So, I'm not saying he's having an amazing camp
or
amazing preseason. Just, if it came down to...
You're already paying him.
The big physical hard worker that can block and help me in the run game in the depths of my receiver room versus the guy that... is a separator, and well, maybe he can be an impact player getting open on my offense. I would rather take a shot on that guy.
Especially
since I've already paid him.
I want to point out something about Matt Collins, which is, you know, Chris mentioned like Gabe Davis is, you know, can be like Matt Collins without the special teams. Mm-hmm. Matt Collins wouldn't have made the team in the first place if he didn't have the special team stuff. What you got out of him as a receiver was crazy bonus. It was way more than you expected to get from him. If you would have told me last year, August 20th, that Matt Collins was going to have the season he had at receiver, what would you have thought about how good the offense was going to be?
If you told me the snap count, I would have thought the offense would have been
in
bad.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Or and
like bad by Jeff Channel standards, which is
what
like
they
10.
Got from Matt Collins was not the plan.
No.
The plan was he was going to be their fifth receiver and be a special team stud. So the idea that you could just swap the production, that's fine. But Matt Collins isn't even, we're not even talking, Matt Collins doesn't get paid, doesn't get the opportunity to play and get paid unless he has the special teams acumen.
That's fair.
So.
I also just also like throwing this in on Matt Collins every once in a while. It's so overstated sometimes how productive he was in the offense.
Yeah.
He played a lot. That's the point. He played a lot. He caught 31 passes.
Probably 20 more than I thought he was going to, though.
Sure. But that's because it's relative to your expectation. He caught 378 yards. He caught 378 yards.
He kept Keon Coleman off the field after he got back from injury.
Did he keep him off the field?
Yeah.
Or is the fact they traded for Amari Cooper is what kept him off the field?
Maybe a little bit of both, but I think a big thing was that you couldn't really take Matt Collins off. He was playing better than Keon was.
I think they tried to replace him in the middle of the season. I think that's what the Cooper trade was. Because remember, Coleman was playing well.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. Coleman, what's the timeline of that? He gets injured
in the,
and then they
the
trade
Dolphins
for Cooper?
Game.
And then
yes.
They trade for Cooper?
No. They traded for Cooper before the injury.
That's right. So they traded for Cooper. Yeah, Coleman hadn't really popped off yet.
Nope.
They actually trade for Cooper and then... Coleman goes 4-for-125 against Tennessee and then 5-for-70 to touchdown
against Seattle.
And that's to me when it's becoming clear, like, hey, they're gonna be working Hollins out here of the picture because Coleman's playing well and Cooper's here now, but then Coleman gets hurt. But it's 31 passes. And it's 5 touchdowns. So but anyways, like if you're bringing Davis in, that might be, you know, what you'd expect from him. I don't know what his role would be. If he signed today, is that his stat line at the end of the year? Is he getting 50 targets in this offense this year? Because I don't feel great about that. If there's 50 targets available for a depth receiver. For fantasy in the Bills, when someone asks me that, there's only one guy that I say is even worth a flyer at where they're going right now, because Shakir is solid and like Kincaid has this upside that you could see, but like one reason I don't go for Shakir is I like to go for boom or bust guys, like guys that can win me the title, not just get me 9 points, 9 points, 9 points. Who's a guy that, you know, might flame out, but he might be getting me 15, 16 a week, and I don't think that's going to be Shakir. He's more steady. The guy that I would try to figure out, and if you like him, this would be the guy to take, is Coleman. Keon Coleman, I guess it depends who you're listening to. When I have Sal this coming up at 7, when we had either Chris Brown or Steve Tasker on at training camp at St. John Fisher, the words inconsistent were mentioned about him at camp. And I think it's really hard to parse what kind of camp a guy like that is having when daily, every other day, a couple times a week at the least, you're seeing plays from him on social media because of his ability to, like, really, he is a stylist when it comes to catching the ball. He is going to, he's going to have some pretty catches. He's going to jump up in the air. He is going to have a one-handed catch every now and then. He's going to look like a beast jumping up in the air over somebody and catching the football. And I think that can inflate in some people's minds what kind of camp he's having. But I don't know. I think he could also, since, you know, St. John Fisher at least, have been putting it together, consistent, every day, every week, getting on the same page with Allen. We saw that one clip in Hard Knocks. I mean, it was like a 5-second clip, so it wasn't much, of Allen telling Coleman, like, I want you here, not instead of here. I want you to get to this spot. So, you know, there's coaching going on, even from the quarterback with him, about what he wants. Deion Dawkins the other day talking about how Coleman just feels different. Maybe there's a different level of maturity there, and that he's primed for a big season. Because he's the only one that I would, at the moment, consider to have like that. Oh, if I'm going to draft one of these Bills receivers, and it's gonna hit big. You know, Palmer, I don't think hit big. It could be really good, but hit big, like 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. Coleman's the only one, because of the draft status and the talent level that is there, I think that is the argument for Coleman. Upside, youth, second year in the system, matured a little bit more. The role has probably been increased for him. Like, that's all the argument for Coleman. I am so curious to see how it works, though, with him playing in the role that he's playing in, when I wonder if he can really show off what is his best trait. I think it's nice to see, and they're definitely fun videos to look at, him leaping up in the air and making a sick catch in practice or in a game. It happens in games too. Last year, think of the Seattle game going over Tariq Woolen, or the Jet game at the end of the season going up over the Jets defense at the back of the end zone. Like, those plays are awesome. But they also were inconsistent. His contested catch rate was near the bottom of the league last season. There were drop problems, and some of them were more of the easy ones. There's a goal line slant against Miami here at home, where the ball hits him right in the hands, and it pops up in the air for an easy interception by Jalen Ramsey. There is a breadbasket play against, I think, the Rams, where Allen puts it in. He doesn't have to put his hands up for it. It's coming in towards his chest, and it hits his arms, and it drops for an incomplete pass. And there were a couple of those breadbasket passes for Coleman, ended up hitting the ground a few times, and I bet that was actually the majority of his drops. The thing, though, statistically, that he was best at last year, and there are plays that I remember for this too, were his yards after catch. What he did with the ball in his hands after he had it. There is the Tennessee play where he catches a slant, and the defender spins him around, he stays on his feet, and he sprints upfield for 50 yards. The Houston touchdown, kind of a similar play. That one is more to the outside, but stays on his feet, and he runs to the end zone, and that was a huge play in a game where the Bills were totally inefficient, and they needed a play like that. And Coleman didn't do it by jumping over somebody. He did it by catching the ball and then using the skills that had him being a punt returner in college. If you're a punt returner in college, you are able to make people miss. You are able to stay on your feet. You know how to read holes. And that play against Houston was big at the time, and that's how he scored it. And I wonder how much the Bills are ready to use that with Coleman. Part of it is they're, I think, asking him to do so many other things mentioned these contested catches down the field, learning how to win routes one-on-one, learning how to beat press coverage because he's going to be dealing with a lot of that, being the physical guy, blocking in the run game. Like, there's a lot on his plate. So is he also going to be a guy that they're going to dump a screen off to, that they're going to run a shallow crosser across the front of Josh Allen and just throw it to him and let him run when they have other guys that do that? Shakir does that. Samuel, if he can ever play, does that.
Do you think him improving those, I don't want to call them easy plays, but expected plays that we're talking about with those drops and those little things,
yeah,
if those get consistent, does that not force them, or not force, but give them the confidence to go, all right, let's get him the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He's not going to make a silly mistake. He's grown up a little bit, and give him those opportunities a little more.
I would hope so, because it also should make defenses respect his entire game.
Exactly.
Like, that's where, you know, like Gabe Davis visiting this week with the Bills, thinking back on his career, whenever he ran routes down the field or whenever he caught the ball, there was very little that was going to happen after that.
Right.
Davis would catch the ball. It wasn't quite catch the ball and fall down, but very rarely was he going to run away from people or break a tackle, or like it was going to be he catches the ball and that's about where it's going to land.
Right.
Coleman, you know, if he catches a 15-yard in route across the middle of the field, he's somebody that I definitely think has a greater capability of catching if he can get to a place where he's getting open on a route around that level of the field, that he's then going to be able to turn up field, make one guy miss, and get an extra 20 yards.
I remember Sal telling us about a play exactly what you're describing early in training camp,
mm-hmm,
where Coleman catches an in route in the kind of spot where Sal thought, oh, he'll get tackled here and get closed on by the safeties, but he planted his foot in the ground and split right between them and got through. And that's, mm-hmm, the kind of thing we're talking about here, where if that's, not to disparage them, but if that's Davis, he's probably not running that route. B, and he's probably catching that ball and going right down.
Right.
Or even if he's trying to split those safeties, he's not getting through them. Where Coleman now, it looks like, adds a little, another layer of explosivity to that sort of a play. And that should unlock more opportunity for him and for the offense as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because his danger, like that size, if you can be dangerous on the outside over those classic things we talk about with him, the over the shoulder, sort of backside fade balls, if you can have that threat, then it makes and add in a middle split of safety speed sort of threat or power threat, make a guy miss.
Right.
Then you're an all around, people got to start scheming to make sure you can't make those plays happen. And that's what I think the basis of what we talk about wanting and looking for from that offense and from a receiver, right?
Right.
And so if he can show a little of that and prove to Brady or whoever he needs to prove it to that he's worth enough to or valuable enough to force the ball into his hands,
mm-hmm,
I think that indicates that we're in a good spot with that because he needs that. And that offense, I think, in many ways needs that.
Yeah. I think he's got to do all that, and he's got to get, especially like the route running nuances are the thing that I think need to come through for him the most. But you're right. Like I still want to stop short of saying I think he could become a complete receiver. I think he could be a useful receiver. And I think he probably always will have a role in the league. He's got certain abilities where even the jump ball part of it, even though it's totally inconsistent and statistically was not good last year, contested catches, you just do watch it and think, he's always going to be in the league. Right. Someone's always going to look at that and think, I can use that. And that's even if you don't see his ability with the ball in his hands. To that, by the way, like one number that I like for that at NFL Next Gen Stats is yards after catch over expectation. Literally, it's the number we use for Cook all the time for rushing yards, but it's just for the receivers. Yak over expectation. And Keon Coleman, amongst all wide receivers in the NFL, over expected, 101 yak yards over expected. That was 12th best in the NFL. The guys above him, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua, Debo, Zay Flowers, Tyler Johnson, that's the only like weird one in here, Chris Godwin, Brian Thomas Jr., Marvin Mims, and Khalil Shakir. Those are the only 11 receivers above Coleman. And even like, so Shakir is 3 yards above him in that number. But Shakir's total yards after catch, 618. And Coleman's total yards after catch, 226. Even that, what's more impressive? Shakir getting 600 and 100 of it is over expected. So by expectation, he should have had 500.
Right.
Or Coleman, who had 226 and his expected was 125. Coleman almost doubled what he should have had.
Right.
In that category by running away from people, making a couple of guys miss. He just didn't do it nearly as often.
He just didn't have the same opportunity that Shakir had.
And really all those guys. All those guys above him, except for that one Tyler Johnson, Rams receiver I mentioned. Everybody else, you know, like Ja'Marr Chase at the top. I mean, he's 300 yards over expected, but he had 800 yak yards last year. Ja'Marr Chase did, and he's obviously another animal. All I mean to say is that's a skill of Coleman's, and I just like to give that air sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone always hyper-focuses on his ability to go above the rim and make a catch. And I think that while that's really cool to look at, I think what's more reliable, I had numbers on this in his college career, how in college, contested catches, it wasn't very efficient, but yak plays, you know, ball in his hands, look at this.
Right.
I think that's his best trait. I think he's really good with the ball in his hands. There, we have examples of that from last year that we can remember. We have the numbers that back it up, and it doesn't mean that they can't throw jump balls to him anymore. I just think there's a skill in there for Coleman that you just don't hear talked about all that often.
Yeah, and it's you got to exploit what you've got. You got to learn how to get the most out of the guys you've picked and the guys you've signed. And if there's an opportunity to get more out of him, you got
to
do it.
Now, to go full circle, because I was telling you about, like, is there a Bill I would draft in fantasy? He would be the one I would draft, but he's going too high for me. So yeah. I personally won't end up with Coleman, but if you do, I think you that's the guy you wanna go after. You're gonna need some touchdowns too.
Yeah.
What would we take for touchdowns from him? Would you take 7?
I was just thinking 7 would seems you take, like the right number.
You would sign up for 7 touchdowns.
What did you have last year?
4?
I think 4. I think I would wanna hope that he would get more than that.
More than 4 this year. He had last year, I think he had 4 because Hollins led the team
right with
5, so he didn't have more than that.
Exactly.
I don't know that I would take 7.
I think I would want better than that.
Yeah,
I think I would hope for more.
He's got more in him.
Yeah,
he's got more in him. I would, you know, I'll take 9. 9 would be the fewest that I would actually sign on the dotted line for.
Right.
Where I don't need him to get to double digits, but let me get close to it.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.